The Bible and the Founders is our topic for this particular portion of Vocal Points. We have had many discussions through the years with Dr. Peter Loback, who is the President Emeritus and the founder of something called the Providence Forum. And yours truly is now, by the grace of God, the Executive Director of the Providence Forum. The goal of this organization is to revive the spirit of liberty, to educate and inform Americans about our true history as a nation. You really, honestly cannot tell America's story and leave God out of it. Well, you can, but you're not doing it properly. You're not doing it correctly. All right, so let's welcome back to Vocal Point, Dr. Peter Loback. Thank you so much for joining us again, Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Newcomb, Jerry, my friend and brother in the Lord. It's an honor to be with you again.
Okay, good. You too. So tell me, would you say that it would be safe to say that the Bible was read regularly by the founding fathers, you know, the vast majority of them?
It absolutely is true, because it was the textbook of the post-reformational world. The first book that most families ever had was a Bible, and that was how many people learned how to read. And so we need to realize that even before America was born, the English language was deeply shaped by the Scriptures. The English Reformation came along, and it created the King James Bible. And as a result of that, we ended up seeing such things as Shakespeare and other laws that became part of England, which is called the Common Law, which were basically Reformation biblical teachings that were codified and it became the part of the nation. The Church of England was established as an Anglican church, and its liturgy is directly based upon the Scriptures. And all that legacy is part of the background of the English language. And when you come to the New World, America, as they started to try to teach students how to read, they used what was called the New England Primer. And Jerry, the New England Primer is basically the Westminster Shorter Catechism that Presbyterian churches that love the Bible still use to this day. It's just biblical truth. And so when you go through all of the great aspects of Western civilization, the English tradition, the birth of America, the best-selling educational tool, the New England Primer, and then the best-selling book in history, which is the Bible itself, that was the backdrop out of which the entire Western civilization, the birth of America, came. And then it's woven all the way through our founders. And maybe we can talk about specific examples of the percentages and frequency with which they use the Bible and biblical language and biblical ideas. So it's absolutely true. You could not have been an educated man in the beginning era of America in the late 1700s without having been trained in the Bible. And by the way, all of our founders were highly educated men. So that's a beginning of an answer.
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting. There are some people, in even groups like the ACLU, where I remember debating somebody from the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and they will throw a sop and they'll acknowledge, okay, yeah, the early colonies, you know, the Bible was a big deal. Obviously, the Pilgrims, the Puritans, the Quakers. Well, maybe I shouldn't say obviously, because nowadays you never know. People only know what they know when their little cell phone, and they don't know much about history at all, and the source of America's greatness and so forth. But going back to the ACLU and their ilk, they will acknowledge, yeah, okay, there were Bible readers in the beginning, but by the time you get to Jefferson and Washington and Ben Franklin, these are not Bible readers. What is your comment to that?
Well, you have to begin by saying, why did they use the Bible to take an oath for the president's office? One of the things when the Constitution was being implemented with Washington, they said, wow, we got to get a Bible here so he can take the oath of office. Why was that? Because it was part of the very public religion that was in the formation of the new country. But we know from each of their lives. So let's take Washington. I've had the joy, along with you, to produce George Washington's Sacred Fire. In Appendix 2, we show over 200 examples of direct biblical quotations, allusions, references, imagery that Washington uses from Genesis to Revelation. He knew the Bible. It just came right out of his writings, and he was no preacher. And what I love to say, he didn't have an exhaustive Bible concordance with him when he was writing those letters all over the country as a general. This came out of his own knowledge. So that's number one. Number two, Jefferson, who's often considered the most, let's say, deistic founder of our pantheon of leaders, well, we know that one of his most important works, which, by the way, has been republished, as I recall, by Congress actions in different ways, is the teachings of Jesus. And what he did is he went through the Gospels and he produced his own version of all the direct words of Jesus so that we could read them and study them. And so why did he do that? Because he said the ethics of Jesus create the best system of morality that anyone has ever known. Whatever you think about theology and doctrine in the Bible, Jefferson knew the Bible so well he created his own, what is called the Jefferson Bible, the teaching of Jesus. When you come to Benjamin Franklin, we know that when there were great debates going on in the early meetings of our founding fathers, he said, we're not going to succeed any more than the builders of the Tower of Babel did unless we stop and pray and ask the God of Providence to intervene on our behalf. So he recognized by a biblical allusion the need to do a biblical practice in the formation of our country. And then another founder that we often don't think about, but Benjamin Rush, one of the very important founders, he wrote an amazing letter where he said as he was developing his thinking for the school district of Philadelphia, he said, why do we spend so much money trying to take care of criminals and building jails? Why don't we spend money on getting the Bible more into people's hands, because this is how they know how to live right and wrong and have the greatest truths that they need to have. In fact, when you look at some of the most important aspects of our constitutional governance and of our Declaration, they are filled with biblical truths. Four times in the Declaration there's reference to God, outlining a theistic worldview. In the Constitution, the very idea of creating a covenant, a federal government, the word federal means covenantal. It's modeled on the fact that God made a covenant as he established the people of the Scriptures. And then you go through the language of how they debated it. They said, I'm so worried that political depravity will keep us from having a success unless we check and balance power. That's the biblical doctrine of sin. The idea that Sunday is accepted for the president when he counts the days which he has to sign a law or have a pocket veto, that's the Christian day of worship. The oath or affirm, to swear or affirm, why was that? Because that's providing for Jesus' teaching. Some took it very literally that they could not take a swear or oath. They could only affirm something. These are biblical truths that are woven right into the document. And there are many other. You go through the preamble, where it talks about justice, caring for the general welfare, the idea of liberty and its blessings. These are all biblical phrases right out of the Scriptures. So these men knew the Bible. In fact, the best argument of all, empirically, was done by professors at the University of Texas who went through all of the writings of our founding fathers, and it's been documented. The most importantly used and frequently cited of all the works our founders used in their writings was the Bible. That is a fact. Wait. Scientifically established. They were Bible readers and they appealed to it. And then when you look at the next things that they wrote, they were Christian writers like John Locke and Montesquieu and Blackstone. All of these men understood the Bible and it became a key part of their work. So we need to stop and say anyone who claims that they were biblically illiterate are actually illiterate of the writings and the history of our founding era.
And maybe, you know, of the Bible itself. Donald Lutz is one of those two researchers that you mentioned who did that study showing that the founders quoted a lot from the Bible more than any human source. And I interviewed Dr. Donald Lutz one time, and he said, as far as the Bible and the founding fathers, he said, even the ones that you know, were less orthodox in their thinking, he said the founding fathers knew the Bible down to their fingertips. And I'll never forget that phrase. And I think that example that you produced that appendix two in the book George Washington Sacred Fire. And it really is amazing that George Washington just quoted scripture over and over and over in public and in private writings, speeches, etc. It's as if you cut the man, he bled scripture. Let me just quote a little bit here from some of the founding fathers. Let's say Noah Webster. He was America's first great educator, but he was a founding father. And he said, "All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible." James McHenry, a signer of the Constitution. We know Fort McHenry was where the battle was that produced our the national anthem, which lately has been under siege. But anyway, here's what McHenry said. "The Holy Scriptures alone, or can alone, secure to society order and peace, and to our courts of justice and constitutions of government, purity, stability, and usefulness. In vain, without the Bible, we increase penal laws and draw entrenchments around our institutions." Very similar quote, I guess, to the point that Benjamin Rush was making earlier. But suffice it to say, the Bible meant a lot to the founding fathers.
Yep, that's why that statement is so powerful, that religion and morality are indispensable supports for our political prosperity, said our founding father George Washington in his farewell address. And for religion, for Washington, was basically the teaching of the Bible. That's where true religion was found, as we look at his life and his thinking. So as we think about all of these things, we need to recognize you can't understand the great works of Western civilization, whether it's Handel's Messiah or Shakespeare or any of the allusions of our founding father, unless you know the Bible. And so there are now books that have been produced, not to be evangelical or to force Christianity on people, but so that school children will not be ignorant and illiterate of their own culture, because it's so filled with biblical teaching. And so there are many states who've approved specific books that talk about the Bible's influence. In fact, Jerry, I got interested in this whole topic way back in 1982. Think about that. That's the last century. That's how old I am. I was starting my ministry back then. And it was the year of the Bible in America. It was a federal law signed into law by Ronald Reagan, and Tip O'Neill, who is the Speaker of the House, was one of the ones who signed it. And the whole country was encouraged to recognize the influence the Bible had had on our culture, our history. It didn't say you have to read it. It said encourage you to know what the Bible reads because of its influence. So it was a federal law that we had the year of the Bible in America. Now, why would they have done that if the Bible was utterly irrelevant? It wasn't even irrelevant in 1982. And when they had that proclamation, you go back through, and our political leader signing into law had one quotation after another showing how our founding fathers respected the Bible and its importance. And that is something that is still worth defending. So if you don't want to listen to Dr. Newcomb and Pete Lilback, how about going back and looking at the federal law that declared the year of the Bible and its proclamation back in 1982? You might be startled to realize how our country recognized those things and made it part of a public law.
I remember Newsweek magazine had a cover story on the role of the Bible in America, and one of their lines was something like this: "Now historians are discovering that more than the Declaration of Independence, more than the Constitution, the Bible is our founding document." I thought that, wow, that's really powerful. Okay, 20 seconds to close. ProvidenceForum.org, that's our little commercial, but closing thoughts, sir.
Well, I'm just so grateful that in God's providence, the Providence Forum now has Dr. Jerry Newcomb as the executive director, and I know it's been placed in great hands as I start to ride off into the sunset, and I pray the sunset will be on a country that will ever love the Lord our God, who gave us such great freedoms. As the Liberty Bell says, proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10. That's the Bible and the liberty from God.
Amen. Thank you, sir.